Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to look here in chapter number 13 a little while tonight and see what the Lord would give us. I'm not going to take time to really review the different things that we've preached on the book of Judges so far. Of course, we've looked at what all's happening here and the pattern in the life of the children of Israel. We see it again in the beginning of chapter number 13. Of course, we looked at Ehud and Eglon. I preached on when Lefty killed Fatty on Ehud and Eglon and the type that there is there of it. And I was really going on into chapter 14 tonight and looking at some things there. And honestly, today, sitting in the office studying, I read these first three verses and God just began to stir some things on my heart. And normally I just don't come straight to the pulpit after something being stirred a little bit. I spend a whole lot more time in the study with it. But I really felt the Lord wanted me to go here tonight, give you this thought about Samson's mama for just a little bit. Chapter 13 is the beginning of the judge Samson. More space is given to the life of Samson than any other judge in this book. Matter of fact, there's four chapters that is given to the life of Samson. You that knows the Word of God knows that Samson ends up dying a tragic death out of the will of God. What led to this tragedy in Samson's life? Well, I would say this: he despised his heritage. Whenever you study his life out, he was a Nazirite and has a Nazirite separation by birth. And what God has done in his life, he despised his heritage. He defied his parents also. He defied his parents. Now, I'm not going to preach on that very long, but let me just say this. If you've got a godly mama and daddy and the life that you're living as a young person, it's not lining up with them, then something's wrong with that picture. Let me say something else. If you've got a godly mama and daddy and some outfit tries to steer you away from your godly mama and daddy, then they're not right. Matter of fact, they're probably a hireling, and you don't need to have nothing to do with it. I don't give a rip if they are a preacher or anybody else, if they're steering you away from it. Well, somebody holler amen and we'll get through preaching tonight. Or I'll preach about 2 hours. If they're steering you away from a godly mom and daddy, whether it's a preacher, whether it's a friend, whether it's a co-worker, it's wrong. He defied his parents. He defiled his body. He disregarded God's warning. God came to him and God warned him there in the vineyard by sending a lion his way. He shouldn't have been there. He's going down over and over again, and he disregarded God's warning in his life. I'm not going to preach on Samson, but hear me and hear me well. When God warns you, you better not disregard that. You better take heed to the warning of God in your life. He disregarded God's warning. He deliberately played with sin. Samson deliberately played with sin. And I say this, he died a slave to the enemy. In chapter number 13, verse number 5, is a very interesting verse to me. Know what it says. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazirite unto God from the womb. And he shall, note the next word, began to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He began to do that, but he never succeeded at doing that. You hear what I just said? He never succeeded. Take your Bible, chapter 13. I'll preach in just a minute. Chapter 13, look at verse 25. The Bible said this, and the Spirit of the Lord began, I was going to preach on this tonight, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at time in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, I know there's three other times. Matter of fact, chapter 14, verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. But there's never another time that it's mentioned that the Lord moved him. He just came upon him. There's a difference in being upon something and moving something. And the reason he was never moved again is because chapter 14, verse 1, he goes down and he begins a downward spiral. Note what he said in verse 25, though. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Go to chapter 16. I want to show you something. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. Chapter 16, verse 31. Samson's dead now. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol. And can I just say it this way? He never got any further than where he started at. Can I just say it this way? And if you've ever heard me preach, young people, you've heard me preach this message. He was almost a champion. He was almost a champion. But what happened, man? Satan goes, or Samson, being led by Satan, goes the wrong way. I thought about this. In chapter 13, it begins a very familiar story in Judges. What does it say? And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Over and over and over and over, we see that. The story of Samson's life begins, watch this, with a godly mom and daddy, though. His story and his life begins with a godly mom and daddy. The nation of Israel, though it was as a whole, was in a state of apostasy and anarchy. There was still a few Jewish homes, and there was still a few mamas and daddies up there was trying to live right and do right and serve God. Hear me and hear me well. Even though America may be in a mess tonight, I'm glad there's still a remnant of mamas and daddies that's trying to raise babies right and serve God and train them in the right way. Matter of fact, Manoah is a very respectable guy, because whenever you study chapter 13, he goes to the Lord and says, how are we going to raise this baby? Now, don't look for that exact wording, but that's what he's saying. I need your help, God. I need to know how to raise this baby. But let's go back to where it all started in chapter 13. Israel's in a mess. Are you with me? They're messed up. They're in the hand of the Philistines again. They're needing somebody to have a voice. They're needing somebody. They're needing a man to step up on the scene and lead the nation of Israel in the right way. Here he is, Manoah. And Manoah's wife, she's not named. I can't find her name nowhere in the Bible. If you find it, come let me know after service, okay? But right here in chapter 13, she's not named. All we know is she is a lady, and she's Manoah's wife. And I thought about this, maybe in her mind, she's thinking, I sure wish I could help my nation. But number one tonight, I mean, three things about her, we'll go home. Number one, I see her misery. What was her misery? Well, the Bible said this, she was barren. She couldn't have any babies. You that knows the Word of God knows that in Bible days that was a big thing. And having children was a big thing. And if you couldn't have a baby in Bible days, man, that was a big thing. And here this lady is. I believe they're serving God. Can I preach it in our dispensation? I believe they're faithful to God. I believe they're faithful to the house of God. I believe they're trying their best to serve God. And and she finds herself at a barren situation. She finds herself at a place of misery in her life. Hear me and hear me well. Just because we're serving God, and just because we're living for Him, and just because we're faithful to the house of God, it does not mean that there'll never be heartaches, there'll never be burdens, there'll never be times of misery in our life. She finds herself in a state of misery, man. Here she is. Just think about this. The nation's in a state of apostasy. Maybe she's thinking in the back of her mind, boy, I sure wish I could have a boy. Boy, I sure wish I could have a baby. Boy, I sure wish I could do something. Can you imagine her misery? Can you imagine the state of mind that she is in? Each and every one of us, and I'm not talking about being barren tonight. I'm just talking about that as a practical application. There'll be those times in our life where it gets hard. And hear me well. I said it this morning. It's easy to serve God when everything's going right. It's easy to serve God when there's food in the cupboard and all the bills are paid and everybody's healthy. Oh, but you let the storm clouds roll in. You let the rain start raining, and we'll see just how serious we are about the things of God. She's at a place of misery in her life. You know, a lot of times, we go to church. Somebody say amen right there. We're supposed to. We go to church. We put a smile on our face. You know, it may even be our Sunday to sing the special. And you get up. You put a smile on your face. You play the instrument God's give you the talent to play. You sing the song God's put on your heart. And can I just say this? I hope you just don't go, well, I think we'll sing Going Down Through the Valley one by one today. I hope you'll pray about that thing. Somebody say amen. Music plays a critical role in the house of God. Can I just say this to you? If the first time you've played an instrument since Wednesday night was when you sat down this morning, shame on you. Well, it got a little tight right there, and there ain't but about five musicians in here. So I don't know what the rest of y'all getting tight about. Are you hearing me this morning or this evening? We come in, we put a smile on our face, we act like everything's all right. But deep down, a lot of times inside of our life, we're torn into a million pieces. We're still at church. We're still trying to serve. We're still trying to be in our place. Oh, but deep down inside of our soul, man, it's disquieted. It's running back and forth. Do I keep serving Him? Do I keep going to church? Do I keep reading my Bible? I was talking to an individual today, and I said this, some things that happened this week in their life. I said, don't you allow the devil to crawl up on your back and saying serving God's not worth it and discourage you. That's what he'll do. She's at a place of misery in her life. Number one, I see her misery. Number two, you see that in verse number two and three, because it says, thou shalt conceive, or he said in verse number two, and there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Let me just show you this before I move on. Look in verse number three. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren. I don't know about you, but I thought about that today, and I wonder in the backside of her mind if she said something like this. Why you got to remind me? She knew that. She knew that. Why did the angel of the Lord, and I don't have time to preach all this, but it's probably an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Whenever you study all that out, why did he have to say what he said? Sometimes we just need to be reminded of our true condition. Her misery, number two. I want you to look at this, and I'm going to move on through this. But number two, I want you to look at this. That ain't nobody shooting. It's a door that's backslid, okay? But John worked on it all afternoon, and it's still, anyway, it's the devil. I see your misery, but I see your meeting. I see your meeting. She's fixing to have a meeting with somebody like she ain't never had a meeting with before. Can I just say that again? She's fixing to have a meeting with somebody like she ain't never had before. Watch what your Bible said in verse number 3. The Bible said, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman." The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Here's what I'm saying. I'm glad that he didn't leave her lonely, and I'm glad he didn't leave her all by herself. Oh, aren't you thankful for those times when we are at a place of misery and we wonder why things are happening the way that they are happening? You say, "Preacher, I've never been there." Hear me and hear me well. You stay in this service of God very long, you will get there. There'll be times where you don't understand. You question why you are where you're at. You question why you're going through what you're going through. I'll say tonight, I sure am glad that in our times of misery, there is a God in heaven who has not forgot about us. And I sure am glad that every once in a while, he'll sweep by where we're at and have a meeting with us. I was thinking about this today. 4 years ago was a very different time. 2020 and all of that, well, it was a different time, man. Do you go to church? Do you not go to church? You meet in the parking lot? You meet in the church? Do you blow the horn or do you shake hands? Do you wave or do you not wave hands? Are you with me? I'll never forget, Daddy said, "Boys, I resigned at the right time." I sure am thankful he was here during that time to help us navigate through that. Daddy got sick. Many of you know that. Ended up in the hospital with COVID pneumonia. He'd been there several days, and we couldn't go in, and you couldn't talk to him. We would FaceTime him, and man, it's just different. It's just different times. And I'll never forget one morning early, I got up, and man, my heart was just so broken. I honestly, I didn't know if my daddy was going to live, if he was going to die. I didn't know what was going to happen with him. I know what was going to happen. He couldn't talk, Brother Brian, he couldn't talk 7 or 8 words without losing his breath. And honestly, I think my daddy would say this. If daddy couldn't preach, he'd just soon die. I mean, that's all my daddy knows. It's all he knows is preaching. I mean, that's over 40 years. Matter of fact, this year is 50 years in the ministry. My dad's been preaching 50 years this year. He just wrote a book on 50 years in the ministry. Miss Courtney's read it. She done all the editing in it. And I'm telling you, man, it's great. It's 50 years in the ministry. And I'll never forget, I sat around the house a little while that day, and I thought, well, I'm going up on the mountain. I'm just going to pray a while. And I got in the truck, and I started up the road. Brother Brian, I was going on up in there above where the campers are at, back up in there, and was just going, I got a place up in there that a few of y'all's been to that I go pray at. And I got almost up there. I was going up the parkway, and I got almost there to Saddle Mountain Church. It's right past it where you turn back on a little gravel road and go back in there. And my phone rung, and it was the hospital. And I thought, well, this ain't good. And I answered it, and I said, "Hello." And it was Patty, the director of the ICU floor there at Northern. She said, "Jonathan, I need to talk to you a minute." And I said, Patty, give me just a second. Let me get pulled over. I'm on the parkway. I don't have much coverage. I said, but just right here on top of this knoll, I know I'll be able to talk to you. Give me just a second. And she said, take all the time you need. I pulled over, and can I just say this? I thank God let her call at the right time. He knew where my truck was at. Y'all can say what you want to on that. But I'll never forget, I pulled over right there, and I said, all right. I said, I'm in a place where I really think I won't lose you right now. She said, Jonathan, she said, you probably need to come to the hospital and see your daddy. And I said, okay. I said, are you going to let me? She said, yeah. She said, I'm going to let you. She said, you need to come see your daddy. She said, his O2 sats have dropped. They was in the low 70s. And she said, we're struggling to get them back up. And she said, just to be honest, she said, there's a chance we're going to have to intubate him. And everybody knew during that time that if that happened, the chances, especially at his age, of coming off of that, it just wasn't good. I can take you to the place on that little dirt road where I turned that old truck around. I started back down the parkway. And I was coming down the parkway, and honestly, here's the way it was. God, you can't take my daddy. That's my best friend. I gotta have him. Lord, I'm trying to navigate through his time at the church. I've never pastored in a time like this. My dad's got 40 years of pastoring under his belt. I got to have my daddy. God, you can't take my daddy. God, you can't take my daddy. And the more I said that, the more silent God got. I don't know if anybody's understanding what I'm saying. The more silent God got. I come on around, I got off the parkway and hit 18, and come out 18 to 89, and I turned right on 89. About halfway down the mountain on 89, I got to the point where I just had to say, God, whatever you see fit to do is I'm just going to trust you. God, I don't understand it. God, I don't know why. God, I don't know what I'll do. God, I don't know what my little mama will do. But God, if that's what you choose to do, then God, that's what you're going to have to do. And I got right there at the bottom of the mountain and I said, God, I'm just going to trust you, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, right there at the bottom of the mountain, it's just like somebody opened the door, crawled inside that truck with me, and said, boy, I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. I want you to know that I'm right here beside of you. No matter what comes, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I sure am glad in my times of misery, there's been some times that he's came to where I was at and sat down with me and talked with me. There was a meeting. There was a meeting. There was a meeting. Boy, I'm glad I can go back. I'm glad I can go back in my mind. On Thursday night, we met with some and was doing a little Bible study together and was talking about prayer, and I read a story out of Dr. Percy Ray's book. I love reading that Ray for God, but I sure am glad there's some times that I can go back in my mind. It's not just words on a printed page, but there's times when he, the Holy Ghost, has crawled up beside of me and met with me. I remember she had a meeting, man. I remember, I got one more point here in just a second. I'll give it to you. We'll have choir practice. I remember in August, I got out of the hospital on a Friday morning, and we came home, and whenever I came home, I couldn't taste nothing whenever I got home. It's just a real blessing to have Rocky Mountain spotted fever and then have meningitis and spend a week in the hospital and then come home and get COVID when you get home. And I was being sarcastic. It's not a blessing. I hope none of y'all ever have to go through that. But I remember in August, Rustana come home on that Friday, and that Friday evening, it probably took me 30 or 40 minutes to even be able to walk up the hill and make one little lap here around the church where I just didn't have no energy. that week every morning, me and Miss Leslie, we would get up, we would walk a few minutes, we'd go to the altar and we'd pray. We'd come back home and she would fix me a big old breakfast, and I'd take about 937 pills and I'd go back to sleep because I was just wore out. And that whole week was like that. And then that next week, I started getting a little bit of my strength back. I started being able to see a little bit better. I started being able to hear a little bit better. The girls and Leslie says that's not so. But I started being able to hear a little bit better. And I was going to the altar, was praying at the altar every morning. Me and Miss Leslie went to the altar out there in the woods and we prayed. And boy, it's amazing. I wish I had time to tell you all of that. But that first week and a half that I got back to 2 weeks, I remember Daddy was still preaching and Jeremiah was still preaching. And I'd come in, I'd sit back there where Brother Nicholas is at. And then it was funny because Brother Brian, I'd bring a snack with me. Because of all them steroids and medication and stuff, I had to eat about every hour. I'd bring a snack with me and I'd bring something to drink with me. And I figured Ganny was going to fuss at me for drinking and eating in church, but she never did. And I'll never forget, I wanted to preach so bad. Man, I wanted to preach so bad. This is going to sound bad, but it bothered me so much to come sit down and watch somebody else preach. And it does it now, but then it was just different, man. I honestly didn't know if I was going to ever preach again. I didn't know if I was going to be able to keep pastoring the church. You've heard me tell the story. I thought 17 years we poured into the church. We had just moved in this building. And now some kid that went to Bible college that thinks he knows everything, that is going to sweep the church and win their confidence, and they're going to put him in. He ain't ever worked for nothing in his life. I'm just being real with you. You say, well, what would you have done if that had happened? I'd have died bitter. Literal blood, sweat, and tears as went into this place. Blood, sweat, and tears. Amen. And I'll never forget the Saturday. I got out on a Friday. It wasn't that following Saturday. It was the next Saturday. Matter of fact, if I had my red Cambridge cameo that I used to preach out of when I could see good, I'd tell you the exact date. And I came up here, and I laid down right there. And you say, why'd you come here and why'd you lay right there? Because this is a special place. And I laid down right there. And for about an hour, I don't know that I said anything. The first two words was, oh God. And for about an hour, I just laid there and cried. But can I tell you something? Somewhere in the midst of all that, there's somebody laid down beside of me. And they somebody slipped their shoulder, their arm up around me. And they somebody talked to me while I was there. And you say, who was it? Well, it was the angel of the Lord, if you want to preach it in the Old Testament. If you want to preach it while Jesus was here on earth, it was Jesus. And if you want to preach it in our dispensation, it's the Holy Ghost of God. Any way you look at it, it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All come right here and met with me. There was her misery. There was her meeting. I give you this in closing. There was her message. There was her message. What did the Bible say? Closing verse number 3. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. You ever had a meeting with somebody and afterwards you left and they never said a word? Can I tell you something? She had a meeting in the midst of her misery, but there was a message that come out of that meeting. You know what that message was? That message, if I could say it this way, was something like Psalms chapter number 30 or division number 30 and verse number 5, the latter portion of it, where it says this, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. The message was simply this, you may be living in a life of misery, even though you're serving God, even though you're trying to do right. You may be at a place in your life tonight where you wonder where in the world God is at and why things are happening the way that they are, hear me and hear me well. I sure am glad that there's every once in a while there's a God that'll come by where we're at in the midst of our misery when we can't get to Him and we pray and it seems the heavens are brass. I sure am glad every once in a while He'll come by where we're at and He'll speak peace to our troubled soul. I thought about this. Job said it this way. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. I thought about it like this. The psalmist said, Psalms 19, Madeline, will you come to the piano and start playing something softly? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You know what Job was saying? Job didn't have a Bible. Probably the first book that's ever written in the Bible. I understand the canon, but you understand what I'm saying. Probably the first book that's ever written. He didn't have Psalms to read. He didn't have that. He probably didn't have a preacher to preach to him and a congregation to stand with him. Oh, but here's what he said. In my times of misery, there was times God came by where I was at. And even though I may lay this earthly tabernacle down, one day I shall see Him. I thought about this. Here's some New Testament for that. Here's some New Testament for that. For the Lord Himself. I'm talking about a message tonight in the midst of our misery because of a meeting with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend. Amen. With the shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he said this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know what the comfort of this life is? Here's the comfort of this life. This life isn't all there is to it. Oh, but thank God there's coming a day that we'll walk through our last valley. We'll face our last storm. We'll get our last bad phone call. We'll visit the hospital for the last time. And God will come back and call us home to be with Him. The message was this. Your tragedy is fixing to be turned into triumph. The message was this. Your barrenness is fixing to be turned into blessing. Amen. It's fixing to be turned into blessing. I was really going to preach on Samson tonight, but I just got stuck on his mama studying today. Just got stuck on his mama. I said this a while ago, and if you're in a hurry, the doors are unlocked. But I said this a while ago. A lot of times we come in church and we act like we got it all together. But really deep down inside, we about to go crazy. We about to lose our mind. Oh, well, praise God, preacher. I've never been at that place. Well, God bless you. Would you sign my Bible when you leave tonight? I'm going to tell you, there's some times. Miss Regina, I remember when you had me on all that medicine. I thought I was losing my mind. I'm telling you. I thought Miss Bethany was talking about little Adley back there. She said Rocky Mountain spotted fever. She was talking about somebody taking her bed and singing Christmas songs the other night. I didn't sing no Christmas songs, but Brother Brian, they said there was a time when I was in the hospital and I jumped up in the middle of the night screaming, somebody stole my bed. Miss Leslie told me I needed to calm down. You say, what'd you say to her? It ain't none of your business. I was under intoxication. Sometimes, man, we think we're losing our mind. Sometimes we... If a family member's saved, we don't lose them, but they outrun us in this race. If somebody's saved, we haven't lost them. We know where they're at. But we wonder why. Why did it have to be this way? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Won't you just find your place in an altar? Say, you know what, God, I may not understand it. But if you just meet with me for a minute tonight, just give me a little message that everything's going to be all right, that you still got everything under control. You hadn't left me. You hadn't forsaken me. You know exactly where I'm at. Let me tell you what He'll do. He said, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Let me tell you what He'll do. I'll tell you exactly what He'll do. Just like He did right there that night when I laid in that altar. He'll have a meeting with you. He'll give you a message in the midst of your misery. As we stand with our heads.